Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the Fan Rochester inside your Odyssey app. Soon to be joined by Zig Fercassi of SiriusXM. While we have a second here, Gino, another podcast for you to check out inside the Odyssey app. It's called The Daily Boost. It's hosted by BetQL's Lucy Burge, Nick Ashew, Dan Karpuk, looking over all of the sports betting landscape, scanning the landscape each day, revealing the most valuable odds boosts, using data analytics and the BetQL model, diving into all the reasons why you should take advantage, the hosts even telling you their betting picks. Tune in. It's the Daily Boost every day on Odyssey or wherever you get your shows. All right, from SiriusXM.
He's our guy. Western New York native. Always love getting the takes of Zig Fercassi joining us here. Zig, how are you today?
What's going on, man? Good to be with you.
Zig, I got mixed emotions today. I mean, I'm still riding the high of watching a Stanley Cup final end the way it did last night. I thought it was a great presentation and just a lot of fun, a great series. But, you know, also now the long wait until October. We've got an offseason to look forward to. And I wanted to start, I mean, we'll talk plenty about, the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I wanted to get your take right off the top because we know how close you are to the Boston Bruins, and I know it's not a popular signing amongst fans, but they have extended or have signed their GM Don Sweeney to a multi-year contract extension. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just got done tweeting that out that I think it's as popular as a rash. But you know, listen, the guy's draft record has been not very good. A lot of his free agent signings have been questionable, but he has made some pretty good trades. Obviously, the deal he made with Hall and, you know, from Buffalo, and they got Riley, and, you know, they've gotten some other guys via trades. Charlie Coyle, when they acquired him from Minnesota on the run to the 2019 Stanley Cup Finals. So it's one of these things where I ask, all right, if he's not the guy, then who is it going to be? So I got to think that the Jacobs family and Cam Neely have to have a belief that they're starting to enter a new era here. Even if Bergeron comes back, that with the multitude of injuries they have and guys that aren't going to start the season, like Marchand and McAvoy because of injuries from the playoffs and surgeries consequently, that they're going to be entering a new era here. There's going to be, you know, maybe a Jack Studnicka finally makes this team, and a Sean steps up on the blue line. So that's why I think they wanted a new head coach, someone who's better with working with the youth. Cassidy did a terrific job, no question about it. His numbers tell the story. But they must believe that he may not be the guy to get into said rebuild, renovate, whatever you want to call it. So they're looking for a younger guy there. And with the past couple of drafts they had, I think there is some potential there with Harrison, Lysell, the kid from Ohio State, Lowry. So there is some talent around. How soon it makes Boston remains to be seen. They obviously think that Sweeney could be the guy to kind of be the bridge to help that, get that turned around there, because the rebuild is going to be coming before too long.
Yeah, Zach, from the outside, the Cassidy firing, that to us was a little surprising there. Is there any truth to the chatter that this was something that was being pushed by some of the veterans?
I put it this way. I have people that talk to me that say that they wouldn't mind if he was gone. I think what it turned out to be was Bruce Cassidy is a straight shooter, and that's why I think the media loves him. And I think a lot of the veterans were probably okay with it, but there were some that they grated. There's no doubt that the relationship with DeBrusk kind of frayed. There was a belief that some of the guys, I don't know if they use the term orchestrate what happened, but put it this way, I don't think they were disappointed that he was let go. And so I think you had that factor. And by the way, I was the least surprised, because you know what tends to happen sometimes is if you're in a position, not you directly, but if you're in a position of a title and maybe you haven't done your job to the best of your ability, then who can we blame, to kind of save our own ass? And maybe that's where Sweeney and Neely thought on that too, even though Cam did come out and say, we want a change in style of the play, which Cassidy did agree with. But I think in the end, like I said, I think because Boston's entering what I believe to be a significant renovation or reboot of this team, maybe they didn't think Cassidy was going to be that guy. And he also has a reputation. Like I mentioned, Studnicka and some of these other guys, that maybe they didn't thrive under him because he was too hard on them. Whether that remains to be seen, only time will tell with that. So that's why I think they're going to go with a guy that's got a lot of maybe minor league background or OHL background or even collegiate background. That's why you're hearing the longtime assistant, Jay Leach, who was out in Seattle last year with the Kraken. He may interview. I believe David Quinn, the former Rangers and BU head coach, already interviewed. So there's another Spencer Carberry, who was a Leafs assistant this year. He was in Providence. That's why they're interviewing guys that can relate to the younger players better. That's why they didn't go after Trotz or Tortorella. So long answer to your question, I think that's why they ultimately moved on from Cassidy, who I think is going to do a terrific job in Vegas.
Well, Zig, I mean, everything you're saying, if you're a Sabres fan, this is music to our ears. I mean, like we're looking at the East and trying to determine which teams need to fall if the Sabres are going to do anything remotely close to what we just saw Colorado do last night. I mean, this was a team that bottomed out 5 years ago, and they're hoisting the cup now with a lot of youth, a lot of young talent and energy. And the Sabres, if they have anything, they've got youth on their team.
They sure do. And I said even during this past year, if I'm a Sabres fan, I'm actually excited about the trajectory of this team. And you're absolutely right. At some point, some of these teams might start to fall. I think Boston, even though it looks kind of bleak, will still be competitive. Whether they fall completely down remains to be seen. You got to think Tampa, in spite of their terrific run here the last few years, that's a lot of hockey. Some of their key guys are getting older. And you got to think now, a guy like Palat leaves, so they could have some more alteration to their roster. I think Florida is in a position now to stay competitive, even though they've got some cap moves. Toronto remains to be seen. So it's entirely possible the Sabres could take that step up, at least to a top four team in the Atlantic Division, because these other teams have some decisions that they need to make that are probably going to be some painful ones.
Yeah, Zig, going back 5 years, I don't think any of us are saying, wow, 5 years from now, Colorado is going to be the team to win it all here. And I'm just wondering if this spurns a new era here of tanking, because what Colorado did, they didn't intentionally tank, but boy, that's the way to kind of build it up. And I'm looking at some of the worst teams in the league right now. I mean, it's Montreal, Ottawa, Philadelphia, Arizona. It's hard to imagine any of these teams 5 years from now, Zig, actually hoisting the cup.
It can be, but you know what? It's one of these things. I mean, we just talked about Tampa Bay. I mean, go back to around 2008, 2009. Who were they getting as prime draft picks? Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman. I always talked about this. It's almost like the timing to stink is depending on who's, in terms of the draft. I mean, you look at You look at Chicago and the ultimate run they went on. They got Kane and Taves in back-to-back drafts. Pittsburgh Penguins back to 03, 04, 05. Here are your top picks. Fleury, Malkin, Crosby. I mean, you stunk at the right time to, you know, try to get some of these generational talents. Now, with Colorado, McKinnon was already on that roster, and a couple of the other guys were. But then ultimately, you know, fourth overall pick, you get Cale Makar, who looks like a right-handed version of Bobby Orr, for goodness sakes. You know, you get a Rantanen, and you start getting guys like this, and all of a sudden, that's where the ascension starts coming in, and you get a coach like a Bednar, who paid his dues, what they said last night, 1,500 games as a player and coach in the minor leagues. He's hungry to succeed. He knew that it wasn't going to be easy for them, you know, to succeed right away. And then they had to go through growing pains. Once they got good, you know, Colorado was an early out in the playoffs. And then it was only this year where everything started to click. Plus you add Kadri in that huge trade. And they made some big-time deals at the deadline. Joe Sakic's genius, for goodness sakes. That's why they're able to win the Cup. So it just comes down to developing the talent. And then once you have the cachet, like the Avs did, and make some aggressive moves at the deadline, augment some of that talent now that started to gel, that's why they're Stanley Cup champions today.
Zig, can it be done without, I mean, we saw them do it last night. Can it be done without that quote-unquote franchise goaltender? The guy, you know, I mean, Darcy Kemper is a little bit of a journeyman there. I want to say this was his fourth team that he's been with.
Yes.
And when they needed him to play, I mean, he outplayed Vasilevsky in the Stanley Cup final. You know, when we look at the team through the Sabres lens here and we say, all right, well, that's the big question heading into this offseason is what are they going to do at goaltender? Can it be done with just okay between the pipes, not all world?
I think you answered your own question,
right?
Because Darcy Kemper, the fact that he's played in the NHL, that's better than you and me and any of the talk show hosts to do. But I'll tell you this, he was better than Vasilevsky when he needed to be. And also, let's not forget Francois, who came on when Kemper got hurt earlier in the playoffs when he took that stick near the eye. Francois came on and did a pretty nice job under the circumstances. So that is a really tricky question, because usually when you think of the great Cup teams, they had that stellar goaltending. But there have been some in recent years, like the Blackhawks. I mean, Corey Crawford was a good goalie, but he's not Dryden. He's not Wah or Hasek or anything like that. So that was maybe an anomaly. The Penguins won a cup with Matt Murray, and now you've got the Kemper-Francois combination in Colorado. I guess it just stands to ask yourself, you know, do you need that goalie? I guess if it's competent and you've got the defense and forwards in front of them, then maybe you can get by with said average goaltending. So that one's a tricky one for me.
Zig Vercassi, you can hear him on SiriusXM. Our guest here is a Western New York native. And Zig, I don't know if the NHL will ever get on equal footing with the NBA once again, but your thoughts on at least a broadcast that I think was kind of sort of equal, at least the coverage this year. I mean, it just felt good to see the NHL on, the way it was presented. What did you think of the presentation on Disney as well as TNT, Turner, the family of networks this year?
Job. They really did. It seemed as though, you know, with their innovative graphics, and plus Kenny Albert's as solid as you get as a play-by-play guy. Keith Jones, I think, is the most underrated analyst there is going. He, you know, he's not a flashy guy, but he says what he sees, and then he's pretty blunt with his descriptions, which is what I love. Eddie O, who actually I would consider a friend, real good guy, also one of the best analysts there is in their studio crew. So I thought they did a superior job. I think Sean McDonough is a quality play-by-play guy. Ray Ferraro, was a solid analyst. Their intermission shows, you know, you got the big names there, Messier and Chelios. That's all they are, big names. They ain't going to say anything. Steve Levy's a pro. Emily Kaplan, I thought, did a decent job. But during the season, you know, I thought, you know, there were issues. Like, when you're watching the game, if the sound isn't like a step or two behind the actual play, I found that to be annoying. I found the sound quality at times on their broadcast to be annoying. So I thought TNT did a better job than the ESPN crew did. I actually missed the NBC broadcasts because I thought their production value was very, very good. So I would lean towards TNT over ESPN going forward for doing hockey.
Hey, Zig, this has become an evergreen question every year at this time. What does Alexander McGillney need to do to get recognized by the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, the guy, 76 goals 1 year?
What are they looking at?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know if I'm on, you know, I don't have any tremendous insight to what the Hockey Hall of Fame board does the selecting. Is there a thing that maybe he wasn't consistent enough throughout his career? That could be it. Are there any, let's call it, nationality biases? I don't know if it's that. I'm not suggesting it is, but I'm throwing it out there because it could be. It really remains to be seen. I don't know, and I just tweeted out, too, another name. And if, by the way, if you saw that Unrivaled on ESPN.
So good.
Oh, my gosh, that was tremendous. The Avs and the Red Wings, which, by the way, the Sabres actually had a little bit of inroads in that era, too, because they actually got to a Stanley Cup final in 99, as you know. But, again, Colorado-Detroit, that was as fierce rivalry as you get. Mike Vernon. Guy's a two-time Cup winner.
Yeah,
he's won the Conn Smythe. He's got nearly 400 wins. Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? So those are a couple of names I think that, like you say, evergreen. Like, why are they not in?
Yeah, the local thing we have up here, Zig, and I know you follow the Sabres, was last year Ryan Miller's number got given out to Aaron Dell. You're like, wait a second, you can't do that, but. But now all of a sudden we've gone the other complete opposite direction where Ryan Miller going to honor him up in the rafters by retiring his numbers. So we've had varying opinions if that's, you know, if he's rafter worthy. Your thoughts on Miller getting his honor in Buffalo?
Ed, when I was back there covering the team, he was one of the guys that was kind of one of the go-to quotes because he was really cerebral. He broke the game down for you easy to understand. Remember doing an hour-long show with them one night at I think it was Omega Sports Collectibles in the McKinley Mall, and
wow.
he stayed with us I think for the whole hour and just, you know, answering question after question and breaking down what he thought were whatever the issues were, not only with the Sabres but around the NHL. And you know, he kind of bounced around a little bit towards the end, but I mean, when you think of all-time Sabres great goalies, I mean, nobody's ever going to touch Hasek. But then after that, wow. He's got a rate probably second, maybe third. I mean, you go back, you know, Roger Crozier comes to mind, Edwards and Sauve, that tandem, late 70s, early 80s. So he's definitely, I would say, second or third greatest goalie in Sabres history, probably deserving of having his jersey retired.
Zig, it's great catching up with you. Like I said, a little bittersweet today. Excited that we got to see what we saw in this postseason, but also kind of upset that it's all over. And I'm sure that when we get back into the fall here in October, we'll be reaching out again so we can get caught up with you and see how everything is going in your world, the world of NHL as well. Zig, we'll be listening for you on SiriusXM.
Yep, on NHL radio on Wednesdays and then NFL radio on weekends. And should mention, Marlon Briscoe passed away today. He was the first black quarterback, of course, in the Super Bowl era. He actually played a little bit with the Bills, became a Pro Bowl receiver. Then he left for Miami, won a couple of Super Bowls with them. So pretty significant development today, unfortunately, with him passing away.
Yeah, just reading this right now, 76.
Yep.
That's too bad.
He's a pioneer, man.
Yeah. Zig, listen, have a great fourth, great summer, and let's catch up soon again. Appreciate your time today.
Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. There he is, Zig Fricasse. Oh, we didn't ask Zig about not being able to watch the Mets.
That's all right.
Well, you know, we park our cars in the same garage.
It saved me some, I guess, some despair yesterday. I won't go for the sweep of Miami.
I was going to
tomorrow.
I was going to tweet that out. I was going to hit you up with that and say, Gene, you know, maybe the universe is doing you a favor and you don't even realize it. We've got Aldrin to that on the way next. Some takes on tap in the sports bar.
Yeah, it's I'm always one. Danger, you're the same way. Like, Rochester, give us more sporting events. Like, once we had LeBron in NBA preseason, and we used to have a Sabres preseason game, and boy, wouldn't it be fun to have a Division I basketball team. I'm going to tell you one thing, and I don't have any knowledge of this, but I just want to get it out there that there's one thing that could be coming to different areas in the country. I want no part of this. All right, so I'll explain my logic here. And then, oh, yes, again, the NBA offseason, much more interesting sometimes than the actual, in the season itself. And this idea where Kyrie may be landing now, I've got thoughts on Kyrie, perhaps to the Lakers.
If you really, really pay attention to what the Bills are doing, you have a sense for what their plans are with one of their key players on defense. I'll break that down for you. And there is a growing trend happening now in the world of, it's celebrity boxing. Can I just say it? Like, I don't know. I have pity. I have pity on former NFL stars who are now in the world of celebrity boxing matches. I'll tell you who's next. If Frank Gore wasn't enough, we've got a couple of ex-NFL running backs ready to lace up the gloves and get into the squared circle. We'll share some takes on tap next in the sports bar. I'll drink to that on the way here on The Fan, Rochester.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.